This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have got a ton of things to get into today. We will obviously talk plenty of Columbus Crew, black and gold. Are at decision day this weekend. All of MLS is. That means the playoffs are just around the corner. So we're excited about that. We will talk about something we're not as excited about, which is one of our favorite black and gold players could be on the move this offseason for MLS. So enjoy it while it lasts. We'll get into all that. Plus some U.S. national team discussion, England national team discussion. They made some news. And one of Beam's favorite people is being thrown under the bus.
It's being thrown out.
Thrown out on his ace. How dare them?
It's disrespectful.
Beamer, how's your week been?
It's been good. Yeah, it's been good, man. Excited about it. Monday, Tuesday, we record on Wednesday today. Sometimes it's Thursday, sometimes it's Wednesday. Wednesday worked for the both of us.
The way you said that just made me think of the, who was it that said that? Was it an Italian soccer? Like, some days may be good.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it may be shit. It's been a good week. So I feel like every Ohio State football fan knows the result of Saturday's game.
That,
so like
that part
we did like
great.
The DEFCON shows and on Monday, and then it's like on Tuesday you start to climb out of the wreckage, and then Wednesday's great because there's really no vibe to Wednesdays, and at least I know you guys do the wild card Wednesdays, and that's on purpose because there's no vibe to Wednesdays.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You're not close enough to the weekend to like start previewing games, and you're not close enough to the past weekend to like still break down games. So Wednesdays for us, we have like a totally open sheet. Like we have no book guests. We have no planned segments. It's just kind of like freewheeling to give us artistic. What am I trying to say?
License.
Yeah. Artistic license to do whatever you want. So like we had the Blue Jackets coach on coming off the very emotional night at Nationwide Arena. So Dean Evason was on our show today. That was really good. And then we had Ohio State men's basketball coach Jake Diebler in studio with us this morning, too. So we had two head coaches on the show this morning. So that was solid. Meredith and I are getting out of town this weekend. So this is my last bit of work that I have to get done before we leave tomorrow. Very excited about that. We haven't had a night away from Willie. I'm trying to think of my last one and or Meredith's last one. Together, I don't think we have had one since last September when we did the Death Cab for Cutie concert.
So,
I mean, it's been every bit of 13 months, like a year and change since we haven't had William at home we've gone somewhere else, which, I mean, we love him. God love him. But sometimes
you don't
need to get away.
You don't have to justify
so
it to
we're
me.
Very excited about that, going down to Louisville.
Oh, it's
staying
beautiful.
Down there.
I love Louisville.
It's terrific. So we're staying down there, and then on Friday we're going to Keeneland to watch some ponies.
Beautiful.
So that's what we've got going on. And I know that my mom doesn't listen to this podcast, nor Meredith's mom listens to this podcast. The best part is that we have our trip on Thursday and Friday. We've booked an Airbnb in Louisville on Thursday and Friday. We have maybe told Meredith's mom, who is watching William, that we'll be back on Sunday.
Oh.
So on Friday, Saturday morning when we leave Louisville, we're actually just coming back home to just hang out for a day.
Beautiful.
And then on Sunday, we're going to go grab
a day of decompression.
Yes.
Is not bad at all.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling. You know what? You're handling this this is a good 4-day weekend for you.
Yeah, it's
this
nice.
Is the way it needs to go.
It's
and that's
nice.
For anybody who doesn't have kids, like there's no way we can describe it to you as parents that you love your kids. You do anything for your kid. You do you would like jump in front of a bus for your kid. Like you do whatever you have to do to keep them alive.
Sometimes
keep them safe.
I wouldn't, but
no. Well, there's times where I just be like, I don't.
Yeah.
But no, like, but in general, I mean, we love our kids. We do anything for them. There are times though where you're just like, the person that we are raising these kids together, we don't get to talk much because of all the time you spend dealing with the child or children, depending on your situation.
Like last night was parent-teacher conferences for Meredith. So she was gone in the morning. Willie wasn't up before she left. And then he was in bed by the time that she got home. And by the time that she got home, I was blown out because I'm watching him all day.
Yep.
And she got home, like had some dinner. We were watching the Guardians on baseball. And then we're both like, let's just go to bed.
Dude, there was a guy I meant to tell you about this. And this is the last thing, and we'll get into soccer in a minute. But this is just, partially just Beam and I getting to hang out for a minute. This is like time we get to see each other, but also it's time. I will say, I think this is relatable to a lot of, if you're a dad out there, there was a band that played at this music festival I went to a couple weekends ago called Be
Fire
Well.
Firefest, yeah.
Yeah, Firefest. The band's called Be Well. They're like an emo punk kind of band. They have like more hardcore vocals. It's not screaming, but it's singing, but it's not going to be the most in-tune singing you're ever going to hear. It's more yelling, I guess. Okay. But this band Be Well is made up of people from other good bands like Darkest Hour, Bane, and so like if you like bands, if you know those bands, this Be Well band you should look up, because a lot of solid musicians in this band. But their lead singer, he, like, all his songs are basically about how he screwed up as a dad and screwed up as a human and trying to make it right, trying to be well, trying to be better. And he just was so emotional during this thing. But he was basically talking about how, as parents, you've got it. Like, he was basically, like, giving a little therapy session while singing these songs. Because in between every song, he would say, you got to take time for yourself, because if you don't, you're not going to be the good parent for your kids. And I learned that the hard way. Please don't be my, like, follow my example. Like, be a better parent, do all this stuff. And it was just like, thank you.
That's,
and also these,
okay,
these songs
cool.
rock. But like, yeah, I mean, it's real. You have to take time for yourself. Yeah. You need to.
So I'm very much looking forward to that this weekend.
And Louisville is a, I'm sorry, you can keep Nashville. As far as I'm concerned, I've done Nashville.
I've been to Nashville once. I'm good.
I've been there like half a dozen times. I have had some really good times there. I have been to some great bars and all that stuff. I get it,
the
why
Ryman
people like it.
Kicks ass.
Ryman,
like,
is
awesome.
I've never seen a show there, but I've been by it so many times.
Yeah,
I want to go. Like, that's the one reason I would go back to Nashville. But I mean, I worked for a radio station that went there every year for like a half dozen years, basically the whole time I worked there. And we would be there for 5-6 days. So I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Nashville, and it's, now when you go, if you've ever been in the last 10-15 years,
that's crazy.
It's just bachelorette party central,
which is fine.
No, that's fine, but that's not why people fell in love with Nashville. Was like being able to go to honky tonk bars and like all kinds of great music is there.
I hate country music, and I liked it.
Yes, it's fun. That's all good, and there's some great history there for music and all that stuff. However, it is so over the top, run over by like those bachelorette parties and commercialism. It's further away than Louisville. And if, now again, it depends on what you like. I like bourbon more than I like country music. I don't really like country music that much, but I love bourbon. And you go to Louisville, it is, you've got obviously the whole like distillery row there where they've got all these different experiences, but they have got a great music scene. They have great restaurants. They have some really fantastic places, and you're right on the river. You got all, it's like, it's just a beautiful setting. Louisville's great, and it's three and a half hours away.
Yeah,
from Columbus. Hi, T-Bone here for Louisville.
They're paying us,
you know,
few
what?
Dollars to say that.
You know what I would do, and I'm not saying we can set this up because Lord knows our plans always fall apart. I would be up. I would absolutely be up for a Bone and Beam meetup at a Louisville like soccer game.
Yeah,
the Louisville Racing Club. I think that's the women's team. And
Louisville
then they
Sluggers.
Have, and then Lou City, I think, is the men's team. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a USL team and they have a women's team. I say, if we ever find a doubleheader weekend, I'd love to go down there.
They have
and
one
check
of the cooler
out.
Breweries I've ever been to. So inside of the Louisville Bats facility,
yes,
it's a brewery. It's called Against the Grain. And
oh,
so it's
yeah.
actually attached to the Louisville Bats like stadium. And so it's a brewery. You don't need a ticket to get in, like if they're playing.
Right.
But like they have garage doors that opens up straight to the baseball stadium.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's like a part of the stadium, but not a part
but
of the stadium.
You don't have to pay to go in.
It would
in.
Be
you...
like if Betty's was connected to Huntington Park.
Right. Yes.
But instead of it being Betty's, it was a brewery.
Right. Yeah. And Angel's Envy, I want to say, is
right
there too.
Yeah, right down there.
And I will say Rabbit Hole Distillery, if you're ever in Louisville, I highly, that they actually are in downtown Louisville, and that is where the distillery is. That's where they actually make the stuff. A lot of these other places, they have like a tap room you know, they have like an experience, but their actual distillery is somewhere out in the country. Rabbit Hole is actually in Louisville and it's great. So anyway, enough about Louisville. I like it. How much did we spend on Louisville? Probably 5 or 10 minutes there.
9 minutes.
Well, sorry. All right. Now on to actual podcast things.
So the best city in the whole world.
Outside of Columbus.
Yes.
Love
no,
Columbus.
That's what I'm saying. Transitioning into the best city in the entire world.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah. But I'm high on Louisville, if you couldn't tell. The Crew, by the way, high on beating up Caleb Porter teams.
Feels nice, doesn't it?
Man, 4-0 against the Revs. I felt bad for Common Man. He was telling me he placed a wager on this game because he watches a lot of Crew games. For those who don't No, Common Man and T-Bone, 3-6. My co-host is not a born and bred soccer fan, didn't grow up watching it, but he has gotten into the crew and he actually bought the Apple TV package and he flips it on and watches quite a bit. And he said he placed a wager before this game and he told me he already placed it. So what was I going to say other than like, well, good luck. But he was like, yeah, I placed a wager on both teams to score because the crew seemed to give up some goals. And I was like, they do.
Not against Caleb Porter.
They're not going to give them up against this team probably. And they are like historically, like up until, you know, goalie gate with the backup goalkeeper situation, you know, when they played Seattle, they were one of the teams that had the lowest goal total against them in all of MLS. And like historically it was low. So yeah, they've had some blowups in the last few weeks, but didn't have one against the Revs. 4-0 victory. Mm-hmm. DeJuan Jones gets the first goal, former Rev, and then the Alex Matan game.
How great is that?
Hail Matan. I love it.
We had talked about who obviously had fallen out of favor with Caleb Porter during his time. I'm pretty sure you can go back and listen to some of our old podcasts when we talked about, like, maybe yes. You want to play Alex Matan. Like, he's going to give him a chance. Give you a chance. Did you forget he was on your roster? Maybe he'll give you a spark because at that time we weren't scoring a lot of goals and we needed to score some goals. I mean, they were 1-1 games, 2-1 games in the favor of the opposition or 0-0 games. A lot of them, I feel like, went on the road and drew 0-0 or like 1-1 at times. And we had talked about for so long, like, give Alex Matan a chance. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Put him in. Maybe a substitute. He'll spark you off the bench. What does he do? First career hat trick ever. Alex Matan said he had never scored a hat trick, which is one of the most mind-boggling things that you can be a professional soccer player as twitchy, as good of a goals as we see him move and some of the finishes that he has never scored a hat trick in any setting ever in soccer.
Like as a kid playing in Romania.
It's
nothing.
Remarkable to me that has never happened to him.
Right.
And what does he do it? He does it at home against his former boss that didn't even play him in 1,000 minutes during his tenure.
Oh my gosh.
It was great.
Oh, it's everything you want from a storybook standpoint, especially if you're invested in this team and you know the backstory there, like you just laid out. You know, I felt so good for him, mm-hmm. and it's a testament to what you have in Wilfried Nancy, right? Again, not to take away from Alexander Matan, he had to score these goals, but it's his hard work, it's his determination, and it's his not quitting, coupled with Wilfried Nancy saying, I believe in you, I'm going to give you another look, I'm going to find a role for you on this team. And obviously, he's playing in this game in part. Now, he has started plenty of games, mm-hmm. he's played a lot more minutes, but they've also had a lot more competitions because they've won so much. They're in all these different things. Now you have Leagues Cup. But Alex Matan has really shown us what he can do. And if injuries occurred and he had to, like, start every game for the playoffs, I wouldn't feel bad about that. He's one of those guys that probably could start for most other MLS teams and just isn't here because of how good this midfield is, how good the talent is here. But there's a lot of competition in that. And I'm not – again, I shouldn't say he's not starting. He is not a locked-in starter. Right. He is not Cucho Hernandez, let's say.
He's not like a Diego Rossi. He's not a Darlington Nagby.
Yeah, where you just – every game you know he's starting, no ifs, ands, or buts. So good for him for keeping his head down, grinding to it, and then obviously getting the reward there. You can see it in their faces. The team obviously felt really good about that too. It did remind me of something with Caleb Porter, and not to air grievances, because obviously we've moved on. We're looking forward to a lot of things. But, you know, Caleb Porter, they didn't score any goals. This New England team is atrocious.
Yeah, they're bad.
It's not on him. They brought him in and they're stripping it down and they're going to build it back up the way he wants to. This will take time. So I'm not using this example, but Caleb Porter, the thing I realized kind of in watching this game and thinking back on his tenure, the thing that frustrated me, especially towards the end, was how many times did we hear him say, and he has said it this year. I went back and looked. He has said it this year in interviews where people get impatient with him. The goals will come. The goals will be there, folks. You just got to give it time. And I know that I'm not looking at this 4-0 and saying, see, no goals. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
What I am saying is the way Caleb Porter has always played is a style that doesn't lend itself to scoring 3-4 goals a night. That's not what it's designed to do. It is designed to play safe, protective soccer that if you score great, much more akin to like what a Jose Mourinho would do. Again, and maybe that's not a fair comparison, but that's a style that more people are familiar with, right? They're like, Jose's teams are going to try to gut out 0-0 games until 85 minutes, and then hopefully they get something. If they win 1-0, that's kind of the formula. That's the plan. Caleb Porter saying the goals will come was always the problem I think I had, especially
towards
the end.
But that's not the goal of your teams.
No, like, just own what you are and just say, like, if he had been out there that whole time saying in Columbus, listen, guys, I know you want to see us score goals. We're not going to be the highest goal-scoring team in MLS. That's not our goal. We don't care about
that. We are
going
to get a lot of points, though, and it's going to be a pragmatic approach to literally racking up points and being able to win games when we need to win them, draw them when we need to draw them, and when it looks like we're going to lose, to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, but don't – if you're looking for our team to be in the, like, top five league average, like, goals per game, that's just not our system. If he would have said stuff like that, I think a lot more fans would have stayed on his side and said, hey, that's all right. He's – But he would say, like, the goals will come, and it's like, we know they're not. And I don't necessarily care if you win MLS Cup, which he did. You know, it was after that where then you don't make the playoffs 2 years in a row, and people say, the goals will come. There's nothing in your system that shows me that that's what you want to do.
You're not playing a forward approach, like, at all. You're not playing positive soccer. By the way, New England this year, 35 goals for. 35 and 33.
That's and how in 33 games?
35 goals in 33 games.
That is... Would you have the Cruz number just for comparatives?
I do. So I think we're in the 60s. 69 and 33.
Yeah, like almost twice as many goals.
Yeah.
That's
The Revs have also given up 68 goals on the year.
Well, that's the problem.
Which is
right?
a minus 33 goal differential, which is second worst in the league. San Jose has the worst at minus 35.
That's why, boy. Again, we don't talk a lot of other MLS teams, but if you want to talk about, like, dumpster fire organizations, San Jose every couple years is like, we've got this coach who's going to revolutionize soccer. And then two years in, they're like, we're at the bottom of the table and we're firing everyone and starting over.
21 points this year.
Oh, God.
21 points.
That is the Spooners. San Jose is the Bay Area market. You know, that's their MLS's entry into the Bay Area market. The guy who owned at one point the A's along with the guy who's moving them, I forget, I'm trying to remember his name off the top of my head.
John Fisher.
John Fisher, yes. His partner was Lou Wolf. Lou Wolf is the one who owned and built up and brought back the San Jose Earthquakes after they moved to Houston. Lou Wolf was the guy who, like, you know, restarted that franchise and all that stuff. And I don't know if he's, I can't remember if he still owns the team or not, but they have not lived up to the expectations there in any shape or form. But that's another story for another day. Just San Jose, also bad. But New England, I understand that it's going to be a work in progress for them with Caleb Porter. They better do some stuff this offseason quick because, I mean, you got Caleb Porter, but that fan base has been dying for a competitive team, and they're just not going to get it.
Let me ask you this question, because a couple of years ago, New England won Supporter Shield, right? I mean, remember the season they had, was it three years ago?
With,
like, it's been a quick fall.
That's, you know what? You're right. I forgot about
it's
that.
It's been a quick
fall. You are correct.
It was a pretty quick ascent, and then it was like a monstrous fall that they've had.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So with Caleb being in year two of this rebuild.
Is this year two for him? I thought this was his first year.
No. I'm saying going into next year.
Oh, going into next year. Right.
Yeah,
right,
this is his first year.
Yes.
With Caleb going into year two, because their season will be over after Saturday.
Yeah.
Who rebuilds faster among former Crew head coaches? Greg Berhalter in Chicago, who've been a dumpster fire, or New England, who are currently a bigger dumpster fire than Chicago?
Yeah. That's a tough call, because I feel like both of them have – they know how to win an MLS. I feel like both of them have ownership groups that are not afraid to spend money. They just haven't done it well.
Yeah.
Although I will say the Kraft family, I just need to know what the commitment is on spending money. Like, if it, I don't know what they're going to do.
Chicago is.
Chicago's done it. Now they always go out and buy players that I think are just to,
like,
sell jerseys.
15 years ago, MLS style.
They bring in guys to sell jerseys, not necessarily the best players you can find. I think New England probably is going to take a little longer, like you said, just because it's a little further away. But New England actually has had, over the history of their MLS ownership, they've had much more success than what Chicago has. So I just question if the people in Chicago, not Greg Berhalter aside, the rest of that organization, I mean, it's all different owners. I don't know if anybody there knows how to win other than, you know, Greg Berhalter. Caleb Porter, at least, is with a group of people that have, like, seen winning. They haven't been good at keeping it consistent, but I guess I'll say Chicago, but I think New England can be back within 2 years to being like next year they can fight for a playoff spot for sure. Like that's, if you can't do that in 1 year in MLS, then you don't know how to, you just don't know how to build a team. Doesn't mean that you're going to be a good playoff team. I'm just saying you could fight for that playoff spot because so many teams get in.
Yeah, 9 out of the 14 teams in your conference get in.
So that should be the expectation next year is make the playoffs, see how frisky you are at the end of the year, and get some pieces that you know are going to be there for 2 or 3 years that are solid, young, and can do things for you. But, yeah, Chicago's probably a little closer to being real competitive versus New England, but they both could get back, you know, and be that team sooner than later. Galaxy ahead of the Crew by 1 point. Over on the West, everybody has one game left now.
Yep.
We're all even on that. 33 games.
9:30, I think, on Saturday. Crew play at Red Bulls at 6.
That's interesting because they're not doing the decision day at the same time.
They're doing the Eastern Conference Western Conference
that's
at one time.
That would make sense. That's what they do. So the Crew will know at that point. I mean, it's really out of your hands, obviously. Yeah. If LA can win their game, there's nothing you can do. However, if they tie or lose and the Crew win, then the Crew, now again, this only matters if you get to MLS Cup, but this is the little bit of stuff left to play for. And
or
obviously
Miami gets knocked out. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, well, whatever.
Miami gets knocked out.
Well, either way, however, you have to get to MLS Cup for this to matter, obviously.
Right.
However, that's going to happen, but
just something to watch for.
Yeah, of course. It's the one thing. I mean, it's the idea of, well, is there anything to play for in these games? Yeah, there is. I mean, there's still something technically to play for. And I think it's just you want the team to feel good going into the playoffs. You don't want to give up something.
Do you know what the break is going to be between the first like knockout round game and then the actual like playoffs starting? Because remember that you get the wild card round game in that first one. So it's the 8 or 9. It's the 8 against the 9 seed in the one off. Like, what's the, do we know the date to that?
So decision day is this Saturday.
Yep.
Wild card matches are Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Then round one best of three series start Friday, October 25th.
Okay, so it's just a week.
Yeah. So
nice.
So basically, if you are the wild card teams, you have to
mid-week.
Play like 3 games in 8 days, that kind of thing,
okay.
I'm sure. So, yeah, that's a tough one, but that's why you're the 8-9 seeds. It sucks to be you. But, yeah, so the Crew would be back theoretically playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't think that's all set yet because it's based on.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they'll release this all as soon as they get done with these games. Sunday morning, you'll have the schedule, but, yeah. Expect that, you know, the crew are already slotted. Everybody knows where they're going to be playing. It's just going to be about matchups and where they want to highlight. I am guessing the Crew will not get the, you know, I don't think they're going to put the Crew in Saturday night at
no.
You know, 7 p.m. or whatever time they view to be like their prime time. Or if they have like a Sunday, again, I don't know what MLS considers prime time these days, honestly, because Saturdays you're going up against college football. Sundays you're going up against the NFL.
Right.
So your Sunday
might be a Friday,
like a Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Is that's like
dead zone. For me,
I'm saying, do you want to put Messi there?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing? Because you're saying, well, we want to have Messi go up against the NFL. That'll draw eyeballs. Or do you just say, no, we'd rather put Messi on like Friday night because we know there's less competition and we could get a much bigger number. And obviously some of these playoff games will be on Apple TV, but some of them will also be on the network broadcast partners too. So anyway, it doesn't matter. The Crew will play whoever they're going to play and scheduling will be the scheduling. We'll know that.
And it looks like you're going to get either a Charlotte or a Red Bulls.
Yeah. Which, so you could play the Red Bulls twice in a row.
4 times in a row, in theory.
Right. God, I hope not.
Yeah,
because
the first round's a best of three. So, I mean,
yeah,
if you win one, lose
right.
one there, you force the third game.
That's right. All right, it's time to talk about the thing we're avoiding because it makes us sad because we don't want to think about this, but it's a possibility. It's out there. This has been kicked around, and it is the fact that Cucho Hernandez, at some point, it will make a lot of financial sense for the Crew to move on from him.
Okay, pause right there, though. I think that we would all agree that Cucho has been a smashing success.
Yes.
Like, best player for me in club history, probably.
You have no argument for me on that.
It wouldn't make sense to me in this situation. Now, if you would have gone back and said, hey, this guy's going to be here for 3 years, would you take that, given the goals record that he has, bringing you an MLS Cup, perhaps a second one coming up here in the run-up to the playoffs?
Sure.
I think you would have said yes, then you can ship him out for X amount of dollars. Continue the story.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like, I am with you that 3 years would be a great amount of time to have this dude and the success that you've had with him, all that said. So the reports are, MLS Extra Time was talking about this, how Monterrey is very interested in him. Rayados want him. That's the nickname for Monterrey, if you're not familiar. They're very interested in him. So they obviously have a Club World Cup spot to play for. They will be in that thing. No bitterness here.
Nope.
No bitterness detected whatsoever.
Nope.
But they have a spot. They obviously have been, they're high on him. They are courting him. And if we've talked about it, I know most people who listen know this, but if you're new and you don't know much about Mexican soccer, Monterrey is one of the classiest organizations. They are one of the top tier organizations in the Western Hemisphere, basically. North America, South America, like anywhere you want to go on this side of the globe that's not Europe, they are one of the premier teams you could go to. I would like to think the Crew are developing a reputation like that, but obviously Monterrey's,
we got a ways to go.
Been there, you know, the last 20 plus years. That's been the rep on them, is that you go there and they're one of the elite.
You win trophies there.
You win trophies, but they also treat you well. Yeah. It's a good stadium situation. Their grass, maybe not so much, but the stadium
itself is awesome.
Stadium's awesome. Remember the grass though when we played there was just like tearing up everywhere.
Remember when we beat them there? I remember that.
I remember that too. It was so great. And then you know what? They remember it because they're like, who can we get off that team?
This guy
is awesome. So Cucho Hernandez, reportedly Monterrey is looking to land him for around $15 million transfer fee.
No. Doesn't work for me.
So I saw
Issa Tall.
Yeah.
If you're listening, no.
Oh, dude, Issa Tall is, I actually have a lot of faith in Issa Tall to make the right decision here, whatever it is. So Matthew Doyle retweeted this and said, this is not coming from nowhere. This has been a report in the Mexican press. This has been a thing that's been kicked around.
Monterrey has people in Columbus.
Yeah, they've been like scouting him. They already scouted him. They know.
Yeah, they know who he is.
But they're doing their due diligence on this, like you would for anything if you're going to go make a trade. And so he was saying, I'd expect it to land somewhere north of $20 million. If there's like the Crew would probably not part ways with him for less than $20 million.
It's not even close into the realm of value for me. 25, not even. It's not close.
What do you mean?
For Cucho.
Oh, you wouldn't take 25.
No.
Interesting.
No. My number doesn't start until it starts with a high 3, low 4 for him.
Wow. Now, I
Bone.
No, I get what you're saying. I want to give people perspective on this. Miguel Almiron, when he was transferred to Newcastle, Miguel Almiron, he was a year younger than Cucho is now, like at the time he was transferred. And you could argue Cucho, I think at him, very similar as far as numbers. I think Cucho's numbers are actually better than his from a, like, especially from an analytics standpoint. But other than him being a year younger, the record transfer, I believe, was his for MLS, and it was reportedly around $26 million. So
inflation.
Well, fair enough. Maybe with inflation, it's more like, it should be more like $30 million. But the point I'm making is that was a Premier League team, a high-level Premier League team. I mean, again, in terms of, you know, history and all that stuff. And they spent $26 million. I don't know if Monterrey is going to be ever getting you to a point where
That's
they
fine.
Can push it to like $30 million.
Shove off, Monterrey. We don't want you then.
Agreed.
Not going to do business. If
Agreed.
It's, and here's the point. I hate this. You hate this. You got to play him in Leagues Cup. Like, so you could be going up against Cucho in Leagues Cup.
You could be playing him
in Champions
Cup. CONCACAF Champions Cup. We could be playing him there too because we're
in
both.
I want no part of that.
Yeah.
If you want to ship him somewhere, if you think that, and I know he loves Columbus and this is going to stink for Cucho because he does. Like, he loves the city. He has embraced the city.
Yeah, man. I don't doubt that.
And it's the same thing that we had the talk with Lucas. You and I were very upset at the time that Lucas, but he wanted to go get his bag. He wanted to go get some money. He wanted to go to the Saudi League. That is every player's right to say.
Lucas, by the way, was like 30. 29,
yeah,
30 when
much
he did
different
that.
Scenario than when we're talking about Cucho and the age and the prime, 24, 25.
I can't believe he's that young.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that he's still, I can't believe, I mean, again, pinch yourself. He's 25 years old. He'll turn 26 April 20th of next year.
Yeah, so beginning of the season next year.
I'm just saying, pinch yourself that we are at a place where you have a guy who is, wait, there's no way that's right. What are they
talking
say?
About?
Oh, God. Okay. His birthday is 1999. I thought it said his birthday was 1990, and I'm like, that's not how math works. He's not, what?
35.
Yeah. Okay. So Cucho, though, like the fact you've had this player now for 2 years?
Yeah,
two and change. Like, you got this guy when he was 22, 23 years old, and you have had him through, like, arguably some, I mean, the prime years for soccer players between what, 19 and 28?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a broad range. I know for some players it's different, but between ages 19 and 28, that's when you are like starting to hit your stride. You hit your stride and then you come down and you still
like
got
22 to 28. I feel like it's really
fine. Yeah. That's the prime window for soccer. We've had that. We've had the first half of his like prime window.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't know with the Haslams. You know, I can't speak to this. I don't have any internal knowledge of this, although I have occasionally spoken with ownership. I will put that out there. I don't ever talk to the Haslams. I talk to Dr. Pete occasionally. I have no inside knowledge on this as far as Cucho Hernandez goes. Here's what I can tell you, and this is not based on conversations with Dr. Pete. This is based on my knowledge of how soccer works and how sports-minded business people work. They have to look at the ability for this organization to turn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it does or doesn't turn a profit. I have to think if any organization is turning a profit in MLS, they've got to be close.
One.
They've got to be close to it. However,
that Messi contract's really weighing you down.
Well, let's ask this question. But you brought up Messi. We already know everyone's pretty much under the assumption that next year, when the Crew play Inter Miami, if they are hosting a game with Inter Miami, which they will, they have that clause in the season ticket holder email that went out that said games could be played not in Columbus,
in Cleveland, basically.
Right. Yeah. And we know that that probably means they're going to move that game to Cleveland because they can bank a lot of money selling tickets to people who will
60,
buy
70,000 compared to 20.
Right. And I would gather that moves like that are done in part because you want to turn a profit, but in part because you want to be able to not have to sell players, right? Like, I would like to see ownership come out and just say what's, you know, like, again, I don't doubt that there are people, no one from ownership is talking about this, right? No, this is not out there in the press here that, like, we're interested in selling Cucho Hernandez. And I'm guessing that most of the people in the Crew front office are saying, we don't want to do that. However, if someone comes to you with $30 million for a player you signed for 10, like, that gives you the opportunity to go out and sign the next Cucho for this team. That gives, now, getting it right is such, that's where my nerves come in. Because if you, I get, so I'm saying,
I know what I have.
I am saying,
I know what I have.
I don't like the idea of them moving the Crew game from here to Cleveland for that Inter Miami game.
If they moved that game, the Miami game, from Columbus to Cleveland to say, guys, we are doing this to the ability to re-sign and extend Cucho to not have to sell him. Would you move that game?
Absolutely.
Yes,
100%. No, yeah. Questions
me
asked.
Too.
Great. Go for it. I'd much rather have one game up there and Cucho Hernandez for multiple seasons, I'm saying. But what I'm telling you is opportunities like that, opportunities to make $20 million on a $10 million player buy, where you, the $10 million should be paying for itself now in jersey sales, yeah, in ticket revenue,
cups,
in goodwill. You can't put a price tag on cups. I'm agreeing with you on that. Yeah. You can't put a price tag on how much interest has been gained by having this player. So there is certainly, you've already made some of that money back, the $10 million, but now you get to recoup all of it and a bonus big time. You can triple your money there. That is the type of move that I would think Issa Tall has to consider. Certainly the ownership group has to consider. If you're saying, how do we keep being the Crew that we've had the last few years? And I'm talking even with the Caleb Porter era. This was a team that won championships. Mm-hmm. Basically, since they've come back, they've been one of the best teams. When Greg Berhalter was here, they didn't win cups, but they got to an MLS Cup. This is an organization that pretty much since like 2012, 2013, this is a 10-plus year run where they've been a consistent playoff team. And in the last 5 years, they turned into a consistent conference final winning playoff team, championship level team. How do you maintain that last 5 years? Answer is you take the $10 million investment and turn it into a $20 million excess where now you can go buy players like Cucho more often. The problem is, how do you nail it?
Yeah.
Dude, Cucho is such a good, I mean,
if Messi didn't exist in this sphere,
he
MVP
should win
were,
MVP.
I know, but he's not.
Matthew Doyle, armchair analyst, MLS analyst, like great soccer mind, has basically said, this guy is your MVP. We know they're going to get, I mean, we know they're going to give the trophy to Messi because that's what Caleb Porter. I'm just on Caleb Porter. That's what Don Garber wants to do.
Well, that's what Messi needs too, an MLS MVP.
No, it's what Major League Soccer wants, is to be able to say, we gave another trophy to Lionel Messi. When you talk about his trophies, you must talk about the fact that we gave him, like, they love the fact that now when people talk about Messi's trophies he's won in his career, they're going to have to mention an MLS Supporter Shield as one of those things. They want to be able to mention
you've never won
an
Carolina
MVP
Cup,
award.
Baby. You've never won that thing. What about MLS's back? He'll never won that.
He'll never win a Trillium Cup. Well, I can't say never. You never know. Maybe we're getting him to transfer from Miami to come over here, but yeah, I doubt it. Could you imagine? God, could you imagine that, like, the soccer world would be on fire? It's like, he's going where? To Columbus?
Why? What was up with the Paul Pogba? Like, I think the crew fans were having fun with the Paul Pogba stuff last week.
There's
that
no
was
way.
Unbelievable. That was
great. I saw a couple of people send it to me like, is this real? And it's like, absolutely not. This is, listen, I know a lot of people weren't around for the big soccer message board days, but that is 100% a big soccer message board birth child of like, Paul Pogba's coming back from his massive suspension.
Spotted at John Glenn International.
No, spotted at the Book Loft. That's what you do. You just start like photoshopping him
Paul
into
Pogba
Columbus
was at
places.
At the Columbus Zoo.
Right.
So he's shopping for houses up in Dublin.
Yeah, exactly right. So ultimately, what I am saying with this crew situation, if the offers are $15 million for Cucho Hernandez,
no.
GFY. Like, go F yourself. No chance. I hang up the phone. I say, lose my number until you get a two in front of that at least. And then when it's two, it's got to be high twos. Right.
Three. If it doesn't start with shattering MLS record transfer, I'm not talking. Sorry.
I agree with you. It should be in the level of the Miguel Almiron transfer. It should be something like that. And the only way that this happens in my mind is if Issa Tall has been sitting there going, and I don't know the answer on this, right? I don't know if Issa Tall and the crew Brain Trust has been looking at, we have a $15 to $18 million player that we could get that has expressed interest, who is under 25, who plays exactly what we need, and we have two problems. One, we don't have $15 to $18 million laying around just to buy another player because we've already spent a lot. Two, the guy plays a position very similar to people we already have. The only reason you would, like, if that person or couple of persons exist, because maybe you don't land the first choice, but if you've got two or three people like that in mind, and I'm sure they've got at least radar on people like that.
They've got radars all over the world.
Right. I'm saying if you don't have someone like that, that you can instantly bring in and say, not only is he as good as, he may be even better than Cucho Hernandez, and this allows us to make that move, then that's the only way I hear you. Because again, who wanted to see Lucas El Rayan go? Nobody. We were all bummed. Remember how sad everybody was? He had that game where they announced it, and then he was there, and he came out and was like, hey, I'm waving at you, but I'm leaving. And everybody was like, what the hell are we doing? We got this Cucho guy? Like, he's going to be the answer. And then does anybody regret that move now? No.
Well, it wasn't. Cucho and him played in the same team. It was Diego Rossi. It was
No. I know. Cucho was here, but, like, we were like, now the whole team is just Cucho, and Lucas is going away, and we're going to replace him with Diego Rossi? How's that going to work out? And
good. It's going to work out
great.
Good.
Worked out great. You're right. All I'm saying is I will.
Don't touch my Cucho. Don't touch him. That's it. All right.
I'm trying to be pragmatic and say,
I don't want to be pragmatic.
Let me ask you this. I'm with you. I want him to retire here. I want him to be 35 years old. And we're like, remember, oh my God, Cucho's still out there. Still. Oh man. He's super sub for us.
Pipa Higuain. Like, you're coming in, you're
sure
playing that role.
Smoking cigarettes and just banging goals.
Great.
Yes. Let me ask you this question. If they win MLS Cup and Cucho, you go back to back, you win MLS Cup, you thwart Messi, however that happens. And then the news comes out a week or two later, Cucho, Rayado's very interested, and the transfer fee is $21 million.
No.
He gave you a cup.
No.
He gave you two of them.
21? You kidding me?
You go out and buy another Cucho.
I don't want another Cucho.
All right. I'm trying to gauge where you're at on this.
I told you my number, mid to high 30s, if not starting with a 4.
The voice you're hearing now is my brain trying to argue with my heart, because my heart is where you are. My heart, this is exactly where I am, is you are speaking like my heart, but my brain is trying to figure out, like, okay, if it happens, how would I deal?
I would deal badly, even if we won the cup this year, and then you sent them off 2 weeks later.
If they won the cup,
I would have a
celebrations, you have all the, you know, things, and then I would hope that if there is a celebration, then at that point he's like, I just want to say it's been a great ride. I've enjoyed my time here. I love you all. And then we can start to be like, what's he hinting at? And then January comes.
If he's crying after the cup, like in the rain, taking time.
Yes. If he does the Aiden Morris, like stand at midfield and just like let the rain hit him kind of thing.
I get
We'll know. We'll know. But ultimately, I was afraid this would happen this summer. We kept talking about how like, man, you don't know
but
when the good times are going to
end. Now we got past that and I'm in a different mindset now.
All right. So you're of the mindset of nothing south of $30 million.
Correct.
And I like
on
that.
On the low end.
And that's if we win MLS. If we don't win MLS Cup, never trade him.
Correct.
Never transfer him.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's where I'm at. Where I'm at.
It's fair. Well, I'm glad we worked this out. I'm sure they'll listen to us and do exactly what we said.
Yeah. Issa Tall's going to not hear this at all and sell him for $18
No, but I am with you that I would absolutely trade a messy game in Cleveland for continued Cucho Hernandez. Yes.
I'm just pointing out,
you can't, they cannot ignore a 3x investment on that. And at some point, to be good stewards of the club and do what's right, you have to ignore what fans want.
Somebody's got to pay for that Deshaun contract.
No, never. I will say the best thing the Haslams do is they sign checks and they go, man, we don't know soccer. Have fun there, Issa. And then they just, hey.
Mr. Tall,
you have fun over there.
Just leave us alone.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Keep printing the checks and leave us alone.
That's right. Just
doing
let
things
us do
okay.
Our thing.
This is what happens when an organization is run functionally.
Can you imagine how many times that they get off the phone and be like, well, Tim, I got to trust your judgment on that. I got no goddamn clue. You know, and just that's what I need them to do in Cleveland with the Browns. Be like, well, hey, I don't know. You tell me. And then that's it.
They have a baseball guy running the football operation, so that could be a problem.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk U.S. soccer. It's Bone and Beam.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. So, dos a cero is a term that gets thrown around a lot when the U.S. plays Mexico, unfortunately.
Cero a dos.
It's been thrown around this time. Well, it's dos a cero. Mexico is the one with the dos, and we are the ones with the cero. No word on who has a.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. Mexico beats the U.S. 2-0. So this is, of course, the first battle between Javier Aguirre and Mauricio Pochettino.
Mm-hmm.
This game, it was not a full-strength U.S. roster, we know.
This game means absolutely nothing to me.
We're going to get there, because I have thoughts on that, too. But just to set the scene, Tyler Adams, Serginho Dest, Giovanni Reyna, and Chris Richards, all unavailable for selection due to injuries. And then Christian Pulisic, Ricardo Pepi, Weston McKennie, Marlon Fossey, and Zach Steffen, all sent back to their clubs early, mostly due to either small injuries or, in Pulisic's case, load management, just trying to keep him fresh for there for AC Milan.
Yep.
So this was not clearly what Ponch is going to want for a first team. But like we said last week, I don't care.
That net, baby.
I want you to put as many guys on the radar and get them in a spot and see what they can do. And that meant that our guy, Aiden Morris, got not one but two games for Ponch. And the first game, I think, went pretty well for him.
Played a full 90?
Yep. That was not the same case when he played Mexico.
Bad.
He was one of the lowest rated players on the field, unfortunately. He had a rough go of it, couldn't connect passes, was wrong side of a lot of guys in Mexico jerseys, and just overall just looked like this was not the game for him. I don't know if he's battling something. I don't know if there was exhaustion involved, but he just had probably one of the worst nights on the field for a U.S. team player. And 2-0 is really not a fair assessment of how the game went. It was mostly Mexico controlling everything.
Yeah, well, we didn't have a shot until the second half. We had three.
Yeah. And I know there are I wanted to address what you just said about it not mattering, because I think this is a good point to make. As U.S. soccer fans, we got to determine what we want, because I have seen, and I know some fans who are Greg Berhalter people who love Greg Berhalter still. There are a decent number of Crew fans who still hold him in high regard to a degree because of what he did here, rightfully so. But I know there was a little bit of that last night where it's like, oh, everybody took for granted just beating Mexico with Greg was here. Well, now what? They lost to him. What do you have to say? And it's like, this is not that situation.
It was a game of zero consequence.
This is a friendly of friendlies. This is half your team is not there. I want paunch to actually go explore and bring in guys and check out what they can do, put them in pressure situations. And even though, again,
I want it to look wonky for the next year.
I want
it to look weird.
Yeah. I want them to start figuring things out for 2026. But the only way you do that, especially with him not having, you know, a built-in, here are all the guys that have been U.S. soccer stalwarts forever. I want him to come in and test lineups and move things around and see what can happen, because I do believe him to be a better manager, better pedigree, better everything, an upgrade from a Greg Berhalter. But he doesn't have the type of situation that he has had in club situations where he just sits and watches these guys, you know, for weeks and weeks on end. They play tons of games together, and then he can start tweaking the roster. He's got to do this from afar. He's got to watch these guys play at their club level and see how that's going to translate when they get here. Chemistry is an issue, all those things. So he's got to balance getting that chemistry right with also making some opportunities for guys to show what they can do. So this was one of those moments where guys got to show what they could do. Didn't work out very well. But I hope that he got some, I hope he got a lot of data and knowledge from this, and he's able to make decisions going forward.
He just throws stuff against the wall, see what sticks. Like, that's where I'm at. I think when Mauricio Pochettino was hired, I think I had even said that. I'm like, just, I don't really care what happens within the next year or going into next summer. I mean, this team is going to have a couple of international breaks where they'll get together, they'll go through camps, they'll do things X, Y, and Z together. Cast your net as far as you can, as big as you can. Bring in guys who maybe have been on the back burner of the U.S. men's national team, or, on the other hand, haven't even really had the opportunity to be on the front of mind for this team, and put these guys into spots. See the work rates. Look at everything. Look at your analytics. I don't know how much Ponch is actually like into that, but then have guys be in the back of your mind by the time that you come summer of 2025. And then when it comes to the calendar year of 2025 into 2026, it's go time for me. Like, yeah. Then you start figuring out and tweaking and tinkering and making sure that you're getting their lineup. But yeah, the first couple pack of games with him in charge, you were never going to figure anything out. Like, it wasn't going to be a set roster from day one moving forward, nor should it be. Like, this should be a feeling out process at least for the next 6 to 8 months, if not through next summer. I think.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think, especially with, you know, players being injured, players are going to be released. What I think
players
is
playing all over the world too.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of different leagues and a lot of different players that you've got to keep your eyes on here.
What I view next summer to be like, what I would like to see is by the time we get to next summer, I can't remember if it's Gold Cup next summer. The Confederations Cup no longer exists, but that used to be the tournament the year before the World Cup, hosted by the World Cup nations or nation. But that's, I believe, gone away. Anyway, there's going to be that Club World Cup thing that some of these teams are going to be participating in. I would hope, though, that next summer you do have a chance to get your guys in place and that you have a chance to really see them play in some tougher situations. But I want by next summer, I want to see it be, we've got our starting 11 mostly, our top. I know who the 18 is going to be, you know? Barring a couple decisions at the very bottom of the roster, like
Gold Cup is next year.
Okay. So I want to be able to see at that Gold Cup a little bit more of a well-rounded product of, here are my 9 or 10 guys that I know I can count on. Here's the one guy that I sometimes have to flop based on matchups or whatever. And then here's my bench that's pretty locked in. And then those are the guys you call in 9 times out of 10 next year as you prepare for World Cup qualifying and all that. Like, they're going to have qualifiers coming up sooner than later. So I know it's got to happen. Again, your qualifiers don't matter this year because you're already in, but you still play them.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Like, they still will play these qualifying games.
I think they
just
play friendlies, don't they?
Oh, do they not even play in the qualifiers?
I don't even think that they do.
Oh, well then. All right. Well, you have to pretend like they are qualifiers. That's what I say. You have to pretend like they are. Got to make yourself believe.
Yes, man. It's the national team fixtures. I don't even know who they play, like what their next games are.
Yeah, I know. Well, either way, here's where we're at with U.S. national team.
All right, so here you go. In November, coming up here, and they're the only two fixtures that you have on the schedule, is CONCACAF Nations League. So
you're
playing Nations League in a home and away in the middle of November against Jamaica.
Okay. You know what? I wouldn't mind if you could get, you know, again, I still want to test and if, like, guys who didn't come in this time because they were hurt, you know, like, if I don't remember where Gio Reyna's injury status is. I forget how long he's on the shelf, but guys who are like maybe weren't healthy enough to play in this one, you want to get some of those guys in and get a look at them, sure. But if you don't have your full complement going on that one either, that's fine. I just, next year we're going to need some at some point next year, probably next summer, I would hope you've got a lineup kind of figured out. And then you spend the next year really getting that lineup tuned up.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Getting those players to play the way you want them.
Even going into Gold Cup with still like a broad net as like a win it tournament for these guys.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's a tournament of consequence. Yeah, sure, we want to win it. It's going to be good. But like, this is a battle for the jobs that are going to be done next summer.
The reality is you had a chance this past summer with the Copa America. That would have been the tournament that I would have wanted to see. If you had Ponch already in the fold, if you had your coach of the future already in the fold, that would have been when you would have, you know, explored that. But no, I don't hold it against. I don't care about beating Mexico anytime in the near future. What I care about, like, literally, it doesn't matter to get to, you don't have to qualify.
Yeah.
So if they lose to Mexico all these times, I want to see them, I want the process to be there that they're beating, if they're beating Mexico because they've got the roster right and now they're actually playing, but if Mexico's not bringing their best and you are, and you win, who cares? And if you're not bringing your best and they are and they win, I don't care about that either. I care about when 2026 rolls around, the World Cup games start, we have a lineup that can go toe-to-toe with the top 10 teams in the world and actually give them a game and not just be out-coached, outmatched, out-everything.
We're just happy to be here.
No. I want to see a team that can actually make a run at, you know, a quarterfinal. Something like that would be
Pod
huge.
Said just win the whole thing.
Of course. I know that's what he wants to do, and it's the right message. Yeah. I'm just saying, realistically, as a fan, if you can show me a team that I think could be in the top 8 in the world, now that's where I'm at. That's where I'm like, let's go. Let's see what that could be. Meanwhile, England, trying to be one of those teams that wins it all.
Your guy.
Thomas Tuchel. Taking the England job.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this is the first time in a really long time that I think I can say that there's a good chance the U.S. has a better manager than England does.
I think so.
Like, there's a real possibility of that. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying Tuchel's got his resume probably has a little bit more.
Well, he's got a Champions League. He's got a couple of titles.
Like, right. So I think
he also didn't win the league with Bayern for the first time in like 15 years. So
yeah, I don't think that's now, unless you want to say he just had his eyes elsewhere and wasn't really focused.
He's looking at this England job,
I guess. But yeah, either way.
I mean, if you go back and just look at the amount of jobs that he has had since he left Dortmund, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So he left Dortmund to go to
Chelsea.
Won the Champions League against City won the Champions League against City while he was managing Chelsea. That was the Christian Pulisic Champions League year. So that was COVID.
Yeah.
Left Chelsea, got fired from Chelsea, left to go to PSG, won absolutely nothing there.
Yep, that's right.
And then left PSG to go to Bayern, and now he goes from Bayern to the
England national team.
England
job.
National job.
Well, and that's, I'm saying with Pochettino, like, I know he doesn't have the Champions League win. I know he doesn't have all that, but I think he's a just better manager.
I think
he's got a better style. I think he's got more of a chance to get the best out of this roster. I think Tuchel's done more. He's done less with more
than
Ponch has.
Left Dortmund to go to PSG, PSG then Chelsea.
Oh,
Chelsea
PSG first
to Bayern.
Oh, okay.
That's the way it operated. Okay. So I had missed a step in there.
Well, I screwed you up. I said Chelsea first.
I think it's the same thing for, and again, I don't want to compare with where the U.S. men's national team is to where England is at right now. I just don't want to do that. But I think you look at what Mauricio Pochettino's job is with the United States men's national team compared to what Tuchel is with England. Like, England has their guys. Like, they already know who a good majority of their starting lineup is going to be. You know that you're going to have Jude in there in the midfield. You know that you're going to have Declan Rice. Like, you know that somewhere in there that Phil Foden is going to be playing. Harry Kane's going to get you to the next World Cup. Like, he's still going to be an active guy. You've pretty much got your back lineup. Now, they do need to work on goalie. Is Jordan Pickford going to be for them the guy moving forward? He seems to be it. Like, every national team, like, Gareth Southgate loved him. I don't know if everybody else is going to. But, like, England, it seems that, to be where we want the U.S. to be like next year, where it's like we've got 8 or 9 guys who we know are going to be in the starting lineup. We're looking for the other 3 and then the guys who can get us over the hump. Like, that's what Thomas Tuchel's dealing with.
Yes, right.
Like, he's looking for, okay, I've got the players already. I pretty much have my 11 set. I need to get to my 18. I need to figure out who the substitutes are going to be to fill out this roster to win the World Cup. I need to get them over the edge. It is a very different scope of job than what Ponch has been delivered to ask for as we're casting a net and just trying to build out a roster.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I think Tuchel's going to have less. Like, Tuchel's teams should go further with England than what the U.S. is projected to do. I'm not pretending like that. I'm saying, but Tuchel has, in a way, the harder job because, like you said, while he's got 90% of the roster is there, finding that next 10%, the expectation is win the World Cup.
That's it. Like,
it's the only expectation. If you don't do that, you're a failure, and everyone already there is very familiar with his failures, and they will let him hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Ponch, if you get us to like a quarterfinal, you're a hero.
Yeah.
And you can either then decide to parlay that into like a much better team job to go back to club soccer, or he can stay the manager of the U.S. national team for another cycle and now build from what he's already done. But like, if he doesn't get the job done there, I think there would be a lot of people around world soccer would say, well, that's not Ponch's fault. That's a U.S. soccer problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Tuchel's
if you don't get it done
with
England, it's like that's a Thomas Tuchel problem.
Yeah, all the infrastructure, everything's there. It's your fault for not getting it done, you know? And so I think he's got the tougher
job. I can
job.
Guarantee you that it's not coming home in 2020.
Oh, I totally agree with you on
that. It's not going to
happen. I'm saying if the U.S. and England are playing each other, I feel like the brain that is putting together the game plan is just better with Pochettino than the one that's going with Tuchel.
Oh, shake your hand. That was an all-time moment.
All
that feels
time.
Like it was 15 years ago.
No kidding, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My God. And finally, your guy, Alex Ferguson.
He is my guy, the gaffer.
So he has a contract, had a contract with Manchester United. However, United have decided, well, you see, the thing is, funds are a little tight around here.
Just been trimming the fat, haven't they?
I love Britain calls it this. They don't call them layoffs. They call them redundancies.
Yeah.
I had a British friend once who told me that. She was like, yes, they told me I was made redundant. And I was like, oh, that's so rude. And she's like, that's just what we call it, love. And I'm like, oh, I don't know why that's always stuck with me, but calling someone redundant is to me much worse than being like, sorry, we had to lay you off.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're like the same as this other person, and we just think you are the one that sucks. The other person's great, so you're redundant. But anyway, they've made 250 redundancies, and he is apparently one of them. This is after Sir Jim Ratcliffe's purchase of a minority stake in February. They're saying this will save around £45 million or $58 million.
It was the global ambassador, right? Like a global ambassador.
Club ambassador since 2013. Yeah. He would see a salary of more than £2 million annually.
I think that Sir Alex Ferguson could get paid whatever he wanted to by Manchester United. Look at the history you had with him. Look at the history you have not had without him. It's always a fine balance when you're in a situation where you're trying to like remove yourself from a legend, because at some point you do have to move on. But I feel like that's a guy whose voice carries some weight, even though I know that it's a whole different era now that Fergie had coached in.
Yes,
like, you compare the game 10 years ago when he left to what it is now. Game's gone, Sean Dyche likes to say. Like, it's gone. Game's gone. Game's gone. It's just such a different direction. But you would think throughout the years of service that he gave to the club, like if there's one person in the world of soccer who you would pay $2 million a year just to be around and just to maybe have that voice or throw that weight around or just to go places with the team and meet and greet fans, that it would be Fergie.
Yeah.
They even went along, and I saw it wasn't a statement from the club this morning, and I forget where I was reading it at, maybe the BBC or someone. They said that Fergie is banned from the dressing room now. he can't go into the dressing room.
Interesting.
He's still welcome to come into Manchester United. He's still welcome to come to Old Trafford. He's still welcome to come to Carrington for practice, but he is banned from entering the dressing room.
I mean, at some point, banned is such a strong word,
yeah,
right? Because it's like, I could understand.
I'm going to walk into that locker. I built that locker room.
I could understand if Erik ten Hag was like, hey, man, you need to let me do my job.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And it's not that I don't want you around. It's that when I'm in there, I just don't want anyone in there that is going to take away from the moment in the room I'm trying to create. And having a guy who's such a legend in the room, I mean, you know, it would just be like, also like a former player may not fit in that moment. It's just, come on in the dressing room as we're talking about at halftime adjustments we need to make. I don't want the folks to be on this other like legendary player, but
I say you fire Ten Hag and just hire Fergie back.
You know what? I'm sure that would be great.
I'd be fine with it at this point.
I wouldn't blame you. You know who else would be fine with it is Eric Cantona or Eric Cantona, who said the following.
Englishman.
Yes, who said the following. He said Sir Alex Ferguson, because of course he played at Manchester United, played under Fergie. He said Sir Alex Ferguson should be able to do anything he wants at the club until the day he dies.
Correct.
He said such a lack of respect. It's totally scandalous. Sir Alex Ferguson will be my boss forever, and I throw them all in a big bag of bleep. Because it wouldn't be an Eric Cantona quote without him having a complete non sequitur that makes no sense. A la when he was, what was that? Remember that where he was?
Flies, wars. God, I love football. He was like accepting like a lifetime achievement award.
It was like the Ballon d'Or type ceremony, but they gave a wanton boy. And everyone else is dressed to the nines. He shows up in like jeans and a Tommy Bahama shirt.
He looks like an old like Portuguese fisherman.
Yes,
to me.
Very
like
much
someone
so.
Who's just out at port.
Yes.
Who had just got back from a 2-day excursion catching whatever.
Salt and pepper beard. Beautiful.
Looks like he just lives right on the ocean, just has a charter fishing boat. Like, that's what he looks
like. You ever wonder what guys like him, what their life is like day to day?
I watched an interview with Noel Gallagher, Liam Gallagher, one of the Gallagher brothers from Oasis. And he was like, so Eric Cantona was in a music video. Like, we wanted him to be in this music video because he was like a big fan of the band. And he was like, okay, so I'm not on the phone with him, but, you know, my representatives are on the phone with Eric Cantona. And they're asking him, like, Eric, you know, we're filming in this location. You know, we'll get you a flight. I don't want my own flight. I get my own flight. They're like, okay, well, we'll set you up with a hotel. I don't want my own hotel. I'd set myself up with my own hotel. We'll get you a car service. I bring my own car service. And so, like, the whole thing down to, like, the catering. They're like, you don't want catering, too? I bring my own catering. And he's just, like, he was just extremely difficult to work with.
I'm sure, yeah.
And he showed up, had his own glass of red wine, was in the music video, and then just left. Didn't talk to anybody, was just there, and on his way he went.
Not even like a, hey, thanks for having me in. So nice of you to do this.
Nope.
I could never. If I had the level of stardom that any of these people have, I would be like, oh my gosh, yes, whatever you want. Oh, sure. You want me to work all day?
I think it would be pretty easy for me to get to that level.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man.
I'm a bad guy at heart, I feel like.
You're not a bad guy.
If I won the Mega Millions, Bone, like $600 million, you would never hear from me
again. That's called self-preservation. That's different than being a bad guy. There's a big difference.
Yeah, you're right.
There's a big difference between taking care of yourself, taking care of your health, and then just being a guy who's like, I will come and be that asshole that you don't want. Maybe that's where Eric Cantona is. Maybe he is like, I can't deal with people, but you know, like Richard Simmons, you ever hear the story about Richard Simmons? And then
just vanished into like thin air.
But part of what they say happened with him and
rest in peace.
Yes. Now rest in peace. He has sadly passed away, but Richard Simmons was a guy up until that happened where he just completely like, left public life. No one saw him. He was gone, like just a hermit, basically went from that. But previously he would be the guy that if these studio tours or these Hollywood buses would come through and like, go see the stars' houses. They drive you by different people's houses. And of course you never see the celebrities, you just see where they live. But Richard Simmons would be the type of person where if the bus was in front of his house and they started knowing this, they would come by purposely. He would come out and be like, oh, hello, hey, and like, oh, my gosh, look at you. And he would talk to everybody on the bus. He would take photos with them. He would tell them stories. They said that sometimes the bus would be there for 30, 40 minutes.
It's great.
And then he would, you know, the bus would leave, and then 2 hours later, another bus would come by, and he'd do the same old thing. And this was every day. And at some point, he just decided.
He had a break. He was like,
I have to have time for me. He lived in the public eye for like 50 years and did this type of thing where he could never say no to anybody. He was always, whatever they wanted him to do, he was up for it. And one day he just said, enough's enough. So I get
that's the kind of person I would be.
Yeah, I get that. You're taking care of yourself. That's different than just like, no, I will come and do your music video, but I need all this my way and that's it. And yeah, it's not like you're doing it for some local public access. It's Oasis. They have their own needs. They need, they're not going to have crap stuff there. Good for him though, I guess, for being able to live his life however he wants to.
I get
to.
My own catering. That was a great line.
Yeah. I think you and I are both in the boat that if I was that famous and they called me, I would just be like, no, What am I trying to do? Increase the brand? I'm set. I don't.
Good.
I only need to do that stuff because I want to make more money. Now that I don't need to make any money.
I just want to be in the music video. That's it. I don't need anything else. I like your guys' music. I enjoy it. I want to be in the video. That's it. Done.
Yeah. And no small talk.
No. No.
All right. Now I actually see his point entirely. Small talk sucks.
Does suck. How you doing? All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How's the weather?
Living the dream.
Yeah. All right. That's it for us. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully, we'll know where the Crew are seated. We'll know who they're playing in the playoffs. And hopefully, we'll find out more about whether or not Cucho Hernandez is going to abandon us or not. Talk to you then. It's Bone and Beam United.